boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Obataya takes on Noel McCallion. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount+ subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Shotgun snap. Look to the end zone. Now he wants to throw it up for grabs. He does. It's intercepted. Did he keep his toes in? He did. It's intercepted in the end zone. Holy catfish. The third pick of the night by the Seahawks.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Here's Velda or Bassett. It's rolled for Velda. Velda shot. It's a brace for the number 99, Christopher Velda, two goals on his 27th birthday, and we're level in the 89th.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, the Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning, hello. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Enjoying a nice Thursday morning, September the 10th already.
I'll tell you what, man. I think that football game being on Wednesday threw me off last night.
What do you mean it threw you off?
It just felt like today should be a Friday with the kickoff being on Thursday. Like, yeah. I was in bed last night putting some show sheet stuff together, and I'm like, damn it, I got to lock in my Sprague and the line picks. I already have an idea of where I want to go, but I haven't finalized it yet. So I'm like scrolling through lines again on DraftKings. I'm like, wait a minute, no, tomorrow's Thursday. I got a whole nother day.
I think that was part of the reason I just jumped in and gave you one yesterday.
Just
was,
like, you don't know what day of the week it is, like you're in Australia right now.
Week one is the most weird. Week 1 and week 18,
I think,
brutal. Are the two worst weeks for sports gambling.
Without a doubt.
Right? Like, we don't do well in general, but like, if you're to pick 2 weeks that are the hardest, it's you don't know who's going to show up and be ready.
No clue who's good and who's bad.
Right. So when you told me the line dropped in that game to 3, I'm like,
what the hell, man?
At worst, I'm going to push because I just didn't think they'd lose.
Right.
Then Darnold goes out, and I'm like,
uh-oh.
All right.
Uh-oh, 5 plays into the season? That's not good.
But I didn't want to wait. I'm like, you know what? I'm watching the game tonight. I want a standalone game. Yeah. I like it better. I'm taking it.
Have a little money. I also ended up betting Seattle minus 3, so a nice little push to start the season. Was a pretty fitting way to open Sprague and the line, was it not?
It was.
Just a tie right out of the gate. You bet number one. Hey, it's not a loss.
1-1-1. That's all I need to go.
As a show, we are not below 500
we
yet.
Are not.
And we haven't even hit the first Friday of the year, so I take that as a dub right there.
No doubt about it. I did want to. We have a lot to get to today. I want to talk about something that I hate to admit that I laughed about yesterday. I actually felt very disrespectful laughing, but my sick sense of humor couldn't help it, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So I'm watching this football game. We're texting a little bit. I know you're going to give the take. You're like, this game might be more boring and worse than the Super Bowl. And to some element, you're right. But
for
also,
about three quarters, it was rough.
But at
rough
least it was
there.
Within a striking distance
yeah,
of being
it's competitive,
a game. Right?
Yeah. One play could turn, and that ended up happening. Throw picks and they can come back.
So I'm kind of sitting here bored. I'm, you know, handling little house chores that are right near the TV. And
right.
Just like, okay, can we get something happening here?
Can somebody do something?
I finally sit down and I'm just lounging. And I get a text, and it's from Dirt. And it's a video. And I'm like, Dirt's sending videos. How about this?
So hey.
I clicked the video. I had an idea of what it was based on what the screen, the freeze frame of the video was.
What it was going to be.
So I play it in hopes it is what I think it is. And it's exactly what I thought it was. It's Teddy Ballgame running out of a bed. I mean, I don't even know where he came from. He just appeared on the screen. He's got a little mini football. And he's running, and as he's running on the move, he slings the rock.
Just slinging it, man, rolling out to his right.
And he drops the line you said he says now when he throws the football. Still got it.
Still got it.
And it's adorable. Yeah. And I'm like, man, that's so cute. I love these are the moments as a parent when he hates you and he tells you you're the worst person of all time.
Oh, these are the
like
ones
12.
You draw back on, Dad, I hate you! Yeah.
And you're not going to respond. Yeah. You're going to quietly go to your room and you're going to open that video and you're going to start crying. You're like, where's my little man?
What happened to my little boy?
And so, like, I find that adorable and it's great. And I'm trying not to exaggerate in any way for the radio. Maybe 3 minutes after Dirt sends the most adorable video and I say, freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
Barry Melrose died.
Dude, out of left field.
And I'm like, after that video.
Come on, man.
Not even 5 minutes after the cutest video of all time, Jason Swigart chiming
just
in.
Just jumping into the chat.
No thumb up.
No.
No heart.
No acknowledgement.
No, oh, that's so cute.
Just.
Barry Melrose died.
How about I take this high that you're feeling watching an NFL game with Teddy's, throwing the football around the living room to, hey, one of your favorite broadcasters of all time has died. Way to be the bearer of bad news.
Well, it's just, it was the timing made me laugh, and I'm laughing about Barry Melrose being dead. Now I feel terrible. He's one of my favorite broadcasters, even for a sport I don't watch closely.
Cool is the rule.
And it's just like, hey, here's this awesome video. And then his only response is, yeah, well, so-and-so died. And I'm like, awesome timing on that.
That really sucks. It was almost in a brief 5-minute moment, the epitome of the circle of life. The beginning, we're in diapers, we're throwing footballs, and then we
didn't catch the video.
Didn't take long. We went all the way around the other side of the circle. Yeah.
Dead broadcaster. Yeah, you
know, I had simultaneous chat groups going on. So all of my buddies in the fantasy football group, there are a handful of them that are diehard 12 Seahawks season ticket holders.
Right.
So they're sending me pictures from the stadium, from their seats, all
that. At that moment of the game, they're probably not very happy right
exactly.
there. Exactly.
So I have
good
these two different chat groups going on back and forth that I was not cognizant maybe of the timelines of both of them.
The timing of it made me laugh out loud because I was walking around the house and I think I looked at my watch. I'm like, oh,
I got bombarded with
texting
like
me
four
it's
different.
Just waxing Barry Melrose died because I wasn't on social media. I didn't see.
No,
it
I got
either.
Like four different
what?
Notifications Dude. Of things all at once, and I'm like,
that
no,
sucks.
I don't get push notifications. I've muted them all.
Yes,
and I wasn't on social either, so I'm just sitting there watching the game. I get this great video.
You were the bearer of bad news last. Somebody's got to be in the chat. I don't know when I would have saw it. I don't know when the next time I jumped on Twitter was. It would have been a while.
Is there anybody at this station that is going to be a bearer of bad news more than me? Yeah.
I would have seen
other
it eventually.
Than Cooley,
other than getting somebody firing me? Yeah.
There's that.
Hey, I'm going to need you to see you in my office after the show today. And if somebody does that one, then you're a little bit of trouble.
My older brother was calling me and he was telling me, because he's more in construction.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, he's like, yeah, man, my job, they just fire you. You don't get a heads up. You're just let go. And I go, that's literally how my job works like
yeah.
that.
Well, they have to tell you somehow. What do you mean they don't give you a heads up? They tell you when you show
well,
up to
work.
Well,
he's like, you just
fired.
Show up in the morning, like, I'm sorry, we've laid you off. And I'm like, yeah, well, I get done with the show. And they're like, thank you, you're done. Right. You don't get a goodbye show. You don't get a ramp down.
No. They'll have you do your show that day.
Oh, yeah, they'll fire you after the show.
And afterwards.
And then, hey, you can come in and do the show tomorrow
if you want.
Can you come
have a chat real quick?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, they fire me mid-show. I'm not finishing the show. I will literally leave. I'll be like, no, I'm not doing that. Good luck.
Where'd Brett go?
Yeah, wait, what? What happened? We went from
welcome
two
back
to one?
In.
Hey,
welcome back in.
The ultimate dream would be like if you get fired in the middle of the show is like fart into the microphone, would it not? How about this? One more for you.
Are you trying to stay in the industry or you think you're leaving it?
You know, it depends on who wants to hire you after that. Some people would find that funny. Nice little parting shot.
I think you're done. I think
give you one of those. Am I blacklisted from the industry if I fart into a microphone? Is that what you're telling me?
I think it's hard to bounce back on a YouTube video of you farting into a microphone.
I think it might go viral. It might launch me into a career. Now I'm in a career at Barstool Sports. Who saw this happening?
Well,
there's the microphone fart guy. Let's go hire him.
If anybody was going to hire you, it'd be a Barstool
Sports.
What's
up, Dave Portnoy? Michigan did get screwed, man. I agree with you.
They'd call you like Andy Gass. You'd have a new nickname. Dirt wouldn't exist anymore. You'd be Andy Gass.
I got to be honest. Andy Gass is a pretty solid
nickname. Not bad. I mean, it's a total Barstool nickname.
It's career 2.0, just like that.
What are you doing now? I'm co-hosting a podcast with Diana Rossini.
we're talking farts and sex. That's what we talk about. Cheating on our spouses and farting. Ripping ass.
Streaking and cheating.
Ooh. I mean, million-dollar idea.
No, but
TM, the timing was absolutely hilarious.
Sometimes timing is just everything with comedy for me, and the two things you've made me laugh about, and I'm pretty sure you didn't mean to, were when I called you, or no, I text you about something, and you called me about bowling, which we've turned into an open.
I'm going bowling.
Can you do it for me? Yeah, man.
Got my balls.
And then yesterday, just the cutest child video I've seen in a decade, and here you go. Hey, your favorite guy's dead.
Here's the situation.
Awesome.
You know what he said? Hey, Barry Melrose?
It's over.
There was no we think.
There was no we think. Yeah, R.I.P. No doing all-time legend.
It's never over,
man.
With Barry.
No.
That one did hit me last night in terms of, like, broadcaster deaths. Who doesn't love, even if you don't like hockey?
He made me care about hockey at an age where I didn't grow up with anybody playing hockey. I didn't, I bandwagon Red Wings did.
Sure.
But, like, he made me care about hockey for a while.
I mean, he's one of the most iconic hockey broadcasters or media figures that we've ever had. I mean, you think about the era where ESPN didn't have the NHL, and he was the only voice really on the network that would talk about it. Him and Steve Levy would be it. Mm-hmm. And he'd do SportsCenter hits, and you get the Neil Everett, cool as the rule. It was great, man. It was a great way to highlight the sport.
They started dipping into the podcast and little video clips or whatever that they do.
Yeah.
Him and Levy and Butch Grass and Linda Cohn. I mean, that was...
There's not a lot of people at ESPN who cared about hockey. There was a very limited group, and he was the one that kind of was the spearhead of all of it. And so it was great. It was always great to have highlights and stuff and see it on ESPN because they wouldn't cover it very regularly.
Yeah, and I think the relationship with Levy was... I mean, it's brother-like. He was
him and Butch Grass worked with them at... ton.
Levy's name is in like the release, like his wife and Steve Levy.
I think he was the one that broke the news because Barry's
Steve
wife
the one that did it.
Yeah. Texted Steve and said, hey, by the
which
way,
which is weird because like when somebody passes away that we watch or we enjoy, it's always an odd feeling, but like I weirdly go to the spot of I connect people with them that I know publicly too, like Steve Levy, Barry Melrose, one and the same, like, partnership.
Right, they were on TV forever.
So, like, I weirdly was like, oh, that's really sad that Melrose had passed away. He stepped away a few years ago when he announced what he had, Parkinson's. But then I instantly was like, man, oh, Steve Levy's doing all right. Like, I went to that place.
Yeah, because they worked together for how many years, man?
Forever.
Yeah, it is funny how there are people who you kind of think of from a national level in tandems, like when a broadcaster does die.
Like when Stuart Scott died, I had this about Rich Eisen.
Without a doubt.
Because like that, to me, that was the tandem.
Every night on SportsCenter.
Right.
Saying fun stuff. Yeah. Like when John Madden passed away, I mean, you can think of him,
Pat Summerall. I didn't think of Pat Summerall. He was already dead.
He was already gone. Al Michaels came to mind a little bit because they worked together. So you just, it's funny how you always kind of connect two people together into a tandem. And him and Steve Levy were the voices of hockey on ESPN. And what a great, I mean, just the hairdo, the look, everything, the suits that he would wear, everything about it, man. I was always jealous of Barry Melrose.
I grew a mullet years ago, mainly just out of like, I think it was right before or during COVID. I can't remember, but a few of us grew mullets.
What the hell, let's do a mullet.
And, it was nice to have the lettuce hanging out of the hat. That was mainly the reason I did it.
Yeah, it's a good look.
I'll tell you right now. Mullet is not an easy look for almost anybody to pull off.
You didn't think you looked good in a mullet? You weren't pulling that one off?
I had to wear a hat with it to look okay. But if I took that out,
then it defeats the whole part. You don't really know you have a mullet if you're wearing a hat.
You kind of get the gist of it. The sides are not hanging out. It's more just the back flow. Man, he pulled that thing off exceptionally.
Just
he
a
made
great
it
look.
Classy.
He did. He was arguably the classiest mullet of all time.
I don't think it's a debate. Who would be classier as a mullet?
Yeah, let me see most famous mullets. I will say I'm growing my hair out right now. I don't know how long I'm going to let it go for.
Uh-huh.
But we're in the process. We haven't cut it in a while. It's getting a little bit longer. Before I do cut it off, because it'll happen at some point, I'll be like, this is stupid. I'm going to shave it all off.
Probably when Oregon loses.
Probably when they lose this weekend to Oklahoma State. I will say, though, before I cut it all off, I will shave a mullet into my head.
Yeah.
There like, why? I regretted not doing that last time when I...
You had some good lettuce.
Depressingly shaved my head after Indiana. I was like, why didn't I at least do a mullet for a day?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to grow your hair out, you might as well pay it off for a day of something fun.
Right.
At the end of the journey.
Go play some golf, have a cigar in Barry's honor.
Yeah, and then you could cut it all off the next day. Like, you just shave the rest of it. You're good to go.
There is a part of me, I don't like to spoil anything, but yesterday you were talking to Dusty during one of our commercial breaks, and my gears started turning. Like, I know what I want to dress up for the Halloween edition, but I might be willing to audible. So if you're back by Halloween,
yes,
which I would assume you are, but
probably should be. Yeah, it depends. Unless the baby comes late.
The front of your hairline, you should be Marvin. I should be Harry, because you have the what's the
ring of death.
No, what's Marv's name? The actor, Daniel Stern.
Oh, Daniel Stern, yeah.
You have a similar front hairline as he did with his hair grown out.
Yeah, it's receding. It's on the retreat.
Well, it's just the way it looks and shaped. You could be Marv.
It's kind of flopped up into the air. Yeah, it's a little all over the place.
You can't grow the fro quite
No, I
the
can't
same.
Go fully. But I see what you're putting down here as I'm looking up old pictures of Daniel Stern.
And I would just be pesky wearing a beanie all upset.
That's actually not a bad idea. That's a pretty good costume right there.
The sticky bandit with a little iron on your forehead.
I feel like we need the gloves with the fingers out.
You got to have the tape gloves.
Yeah, the tape gloves. Got to have those.
Swag could be the pigeon lady.
Ooh, RIP, by the way.
You would actually pull that off rather well, I think. The pigeon lady.
Have a bird on your hat.
You don't remember Home Alone 2? The homeless pigeon lady?
Just bring in some pigeon food, throw it out on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah, he weirdly became best friends with a pigeon lady who lived in the park and stank.
She saved his life.
She did, actually, yeah.
I mean, she ended up being the hero of the movie. At first, he's a little scared. Foot gets stuck. I'm running away from Pigeon Lady. And then all of a sudden, maybe...
Came up clutch.
Maybe don't judge a book by its cover. Maybe Pigeon Lady will pull you out of the rubble.
If we were ever to do a three-man costume idea, I think that might be the most
That's number one on the big board right there.
We're the Sticky Bandits, and he's the Pigeon Lady. That is great.
Marv!
You got to Google Pigeon Lady, Swag, if you don't remember her. I think you'd be like, oh, okay, that's an easy... Because it's not like you're putting a wig and makeup on.
No, no.
She was homeless.
He brings some gloves in. Remember when he would just put the thing in like the Salvation Army buckets that would tape? Just right there, boom, right there. It was like $4, man. I could take that with me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tandems that will always be linked as well is, I guess, Charles Barkley announced that next year is his last year, and Ernie Johnson...
I did see that.
He says him and Ernie are... Like a package deal.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like Barkley's retired for 7 years in a row now.
Yeah, he's becoming the frontman band that comes to your city and says, I'm done. This is it.
Last chance to see me.
And then the broadcast company's like, what about another million a year? And he goes, okay.
All right, fine.
And I feel like that's what he's angling for, but you never know.
It's a brilliant renegotiation strategy by Charles Barkley because he probably gets more money every year.
It's great.
I also, there's a huge level of respect if that ends up being true. Like, I don't want to keep... If Ernie's not doing the show, I'm not doing the show anymore.
Well, he made it seem like it was more his decision than Ernie would follow him.
Well, because I know...
I didn't hear it, but I saw the blurb that
The
he
blurb that I
it.
Thought was, yeah, that he was... Ernie was going to retire after this year, and his stance was, if Ernie's retiring, I'm not doing the show anymore. I don't want to do the show with a new iteration or a
I
new
love
host.
That. And then a million's offered, and you're doing the show with Candace Parker.
I do know that Ernie, like, over the last handful of years, has pared back his, like, I don't think he does baseball stuff for TBS anymore.
He doesn't do the Tuesday shows.
The Tuesday shows.
He doesn't do that. They might
I don't
bring
think he did
him
tournament
in.
Stuff this year.
Like, I think he backed off. Well, they bring him in for the NCAA tournament because they need...
I don't think he did this year.
I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought I read that he didn't do it.
Oh, maybe he did.
Maybe I'm misremembering then.
I know he's historically over the years done it, but I thought in that article I was reading was like he's slowly stripped down
Adam
his responsibilities.
Lefko now.
Yeah,
it
was Lefko.
He does more studio stuff.
Let me see.
Because I know they have two different studio. They have the CBS studio and then they have the Turner studio because of the offset of all the games going on.
I have to admit, like, I didn't consume as much Inside last year. I thought I think ESPN ruined the show.
Yeah, they took some starch out of the show.
Also, I find it odd, like you mentioned
he only did the Final Four, by the way.
Oh,
the
okay.
So he showed up for the Final Four.
When they come to your city and they announce this is the final tour, and then you know they're liars and more money will get them back.
Right.
I felt their final year on Turner odd. It was like the worst kept secret was that ESPN was probably going to jump in and save the show. We knew that like the last I feel like 2 or 3 months of the year.
Yes.
And they were still parading around like, this is it for us. They
had the final hurrah.
I'm like, you're going to ESPN and everybody's job's safe.
Right.
Like,
that was the whole reason that they wanted to do it. Those guys didn't need the money. They'd wanted everybody else to stay employed.
Which is commendable and something awesome. But like, I found it odd to do this. Like,
I'm with you.
It's over, but it's not. We know it's not.
Right. You're going to be on TV next year, just on a different channel.
And then everybody's concerns about the show on ESPN ended up being exactly right. It was watered down. It was cut down. It wasn't the same at all.
Shorter segments, more commercials.
And then like, their schedule was weird. They had like 2 shows the whole beginning of the season.
Yeah, they had nothing at the start of the year, and then the back half of the year they had more. And they were kind of, to me, out of sight, out of mind at that point.
And nobody knew when it would happen and when it wouldn't happen. I just found the whole thing odd. So
yeah, they would be all over the early calendar on TNT. Like, opening night would usually be a TNT game.
And then they take 2 weeks off.
And, yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. What are we doing here?
What schedule is this?
Let's go to work here, guys. Huh? How about that? Let's try that one out.
But we got a good show today.
We do. I think Drake May just threw another interception.
Oh.
He just threw another one.
I do want to have a Drake May conversation because my wife asked how I feel about him.
How do you?
Because she doesn't know who he is, and I'm like, oh, he's a third-year guy.
He was in the Super Bowl last year.
He was in the Super Bowl. He's runner-up to MVP. Had a good second season, rookie year, whatever.
Yeah.
She goes, do you like him? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about him.
I'm non-binary on Drake
May. Even with a great season, I'm still like, let's wait and see a little bit before we're counting our chickens here. Jaden Daniels blew my mind, and then just had an abysmal second season.
He was a top-5 quarterback a year ago at this date.
So I do want to talk about Drake May. I think I've reached a conclusion about yesterday's performance.
Getting outplayed by Drew Locke's going to make you change your stance a little bit?
Yeah, I feel like Seahawk fan was going to hate me if they ended up losing that game because Sam Darnold getting hurt in the first possession.
That was not funny, but also
spraying line.
To your Barry Melrose point to open the show, there was a brief moment of like, Oh,
did I do this?
Oh, spray gambled on the Seahawks.
So we'll get to that. We got a Magic Hat Thursday that we're going to get to today. A lot of college football and NFL. We got an NFL game today on Netflix. So
it's a Netflix Thursday game. I forgot it was on Netflix until this morning.
That is actually a Friday game where they're at, but it's Thursday here.
Yes.
But it was Wednesday yesterday, which was a Thursday for them.
It all checks out.
But it's a busy little show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague. Let's start. Patriots and Seahawks Super Bowl rematch last night. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount+ subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
At some point, this is what I gotta say today. Matt has a noodle arm. This team blows.
Welcome back in. 627 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Let's start everything with the Seattle Seahawks getting the comeback win last night against Dirt's New England Patriots.
I felt pretty good about those takes last night.
I will get to the game. Yeah. Two quick observations about the NFL because I instantly got home yesterday and regretted some of my NFL picks.
Oh, you already
should I flip these already?
You're already flipping them in your head.
The Saints won. It's a bit risky, I'll admit.
What the hell, dude?
But I had two takeaways about both of us.
Yeah.
There are two quarterbacks that we have both, like, jumped aboard and we swear by him, we like him. I'll give you credit. You loved Drake May coming into the draft.
I did. He was my number one guy in that class.
And yesterday, and for a couple months now, you've been, New England's not getting to the playoffs next year. And then we made picks yesterday. I've been all over and on Caleb.
Right.
Didn't pick Chicago to make the playoffs. Two quarterbacks we both like, and we didn't pick either of them to make the playoffs.
Regression years. Although I didn't feel great about my draft takes watching Drake May do what he did in the fourth quarter last night. I felt great about it last year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, even the regression thing, and I'd imagine for Chicago, it's the same with you. Like, it's not necessarily that I think Drake May all of a sudden sucks, although maybe that is my takeaway again after watching him last night. It's more about just like their schedule was such a outlier in terms of the difficulty of what a normal run in the NFL looks like last year. They beat nobody, sans Buffalo in week four. Mm-hmm. That was it. They get to the playoffs. They get the team with, historically speaking, one of the worst offensive lines we've ever seen. They then play a team with a quarterback who threw them four interceptions, and they won a one-score game that could have gone either way, and then a backup quarterback in the AFC title game before getting their teeth kicked in for four quarters of the Super Bowl by the first legitimate team that had a chance to actually knock them off. And
yeah.
So that it was more about just not trusting the organization and everything. Like, I just think they were a very fraudulent team last year, and it rarely happens that a team that's a fraud can get all the way to the Super Bowl, but then the yellow brick road was aligned for them in the playoffs, and I just think there's a regression back to the mean. I don't think May's going to suck all year, and they're only going to win five games. It's more about just like, your schedule's harder. You're not catching anybody off guard this year. Did you truly get better in the offseason? And oh, by the way, your head coach has been diddling a reporter for 10 years. That's a bit of an issue for me, and I think you're going to fall off a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going to be. I listened to a little bit of EEI on my way in.
How are they handling the news today?
Weirdly, they were debating if the new iPhone is worth buying.
Oh, interesting. Has Boston grown? Are they maturing in front of our
just
very
missed,
eyes?
I might have missed all the segments. You know,
all
it was
the
just
yelling.
That window that I was listening, and they were like, is the new iPhone with a flip phone screen awesome to you?
I mean, your golden boy Tom Brady Jr. just threw three picks in the fourth quarter against the defending Super Bowl champs.
Well, so, a lot to get to from this game. Yeah. A.J. Brown left injured.
He did.
And what happened early was nightmare fuel for Seahawks fan because Sam Darnold left after the first possession.
Five plays into the season.
And, you know, he got taken away. He went to a hospital. Here's Mike McDonald with the follow-up on Sam Darnold.
At this point, we were able to rule out a fracture. So there's some more tests to be done. And so that's what I'm saying when it's positive. So, but I know it's... we're still working through all that, but right now I think fracture's out, which is great news.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news, but...
I mean, that's the difference between missing some time and missing the entire season, right? Like, we still don't know how long he's going to be out.
I was surprised to hear it was a hip. I thought it was an ankle, knee, and
it was weird.
The way he was hobbling, like, it's a hip injury, and I'm like, whoa.
The way it felt like he landed almost completely on his knee with the weight of the body.
Knee, so you wonder if that jammed somehow.
Yeah. Also, the body weight of these guys.
Yeah, right. On top of him, too.
So the hip must have been where all the pressure ended up.
I mean, they went from a play, and look, we don't know yet, right? He's got to confirm everything today. More testing is to come.
I think everybody would be surprised if they see him in the next week or two, though.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, if I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm saying we're probably not going to see him for a month, right? If he's back
in. They play Arizona next week. Yeah, you don't need him.
You'll be all right. Drew's locked in, huh? But that was the same injury that Tua had in college. The fear-mongering one we thought last night was that hip, you know, fracture or whatever, and that's like, that's not an easy... We can overcome a lot of injuries, and Achilles has changed, and the ACL has certainly changed. Like, fracturing your hip and having to relearn how to walk from that standpoint is a really difficult thing to overcome. And so, fingers crossed for Darnold, because he finally is having... That was my thought when he went down, of like, dude, this guy finally... He's finally got a home. He finally found a team where he's winning. He won a Super Bowl. He's a franchise quarterback, and then... Five plays into the season of your reigning Super Bowl championship run, I'm glad that at least as of now it appears it's not the disastrous thing we all thought.
Well, what's the takeaway last night? So Seattle does nothing in the first half. It's 7-0. The game is a slugfest. Doesn't matter if Darnold's playing.
No.
They have a couple good plays, and then they take a couple steps back. Penalties were a big problem for Seattle last night.
Huge problem.
But they ended up getting, finally in the fourth quarter, they went for it on 4th-and-1, just a little past midfield. And I thought it was a really good play call by Fleury of roll out a little bit, and you have JSN kind of creep into that middle zone area of
just
the secondary.
Sit down and catch it, yep.
Get it, breakaway, 45-yard touchdown. Here we go, tie game. And Seattle gets the late field goal as well. Drew Lock, as you mentioned, no turnovers. He was exactly what you needed him to be to win this football game.
Mm-hmm.
Their run numbers aren't great.
No, they need Charbonnet back.
I thought Price was really good. I thought this was more a compliment of New England's front seven than it was we need a different running back.
I think it's also the added caveat of if I'm New England's defensive coordinator and Sam Darnold goes down on the fifth play of the game, what am I doing?
Loading the box.
Run the ball, I dare you. Well, you're not going to be able to do it against us. You have no balance because for 2.5 quarters, they really couldn't complete it. They weren't doing anything in the passing game. The majority of their numbers came late in the game.
Now, how'd you like to be the new OC being the number one play caller for the first time in your career in
Here's
that
a backup.
Happens.
And I think they said after the game he took no reps all week with the ones.
Yeah, I heard that in the game.
Why would backups take reps with ones during game week?
It's all Darnold. And then, hey, by the way, here's a new game plan we got to have. I thought the running game was fine. Like, I thought considering that the other team knows you're going to try and run it a ton because Drew Lock's in the game, I thought they still found a way, especially late, just to kind of just dig out 4 or 5 yards at a time, fall forward. Like, it was efficient in that way. It wasn't explosive.
Yep.
I think their longest run of the game was, ironically, a Drew Lock scramble of about 14 yards. Outside of that, Price's longest run was 13, but he averaged 5 yards a carry.
Yep.
Didn't have a huge volume of carries either, and so they found a way to manufacture yards in the second half, but it was all aided by Drake May handing them the football.
I think Charbonnet, you know, to Swag's point, I think Charbonnet being added to that rotation instead of Helani is going to help them tremendously when he does get back. But I thought Price looked good.
Yeah.
And it was more the timing of some of their runs, right?
Yes.
Like the totals don't look great, but sometimes it's about when did you get the 5 yards? Well, you got it on this play, which led to the next play, which was important.
Right.
You know, Seattle gets the win at home. I mentioned A.J. Brown leaving. Romeo Doubs, who I really liked that pickup, has a huge drop.
He was not good.
The very next play, they throw an interception.
Yep.
May has 3 picks. What is the story of the game for you last night?
To me, the story of the game, I think it's twofold. One, the biggest story of the game for me is what is the health of Sam Darnold and when will he be back? Drew Lock played very well in relief, and that's not an easy thing to do after not taking reps with the ones all week in practice. And so he made throws when he needed to. He was timely. He converted some big downs. JSN had a big game despite Darnold being out. I came into the year much higher on Seattle, obviously, than I am on New England. And so the takeaway for me is just how simply long will he be out for 2 months? Is it 6 weeks? Is it 5 weeks? Is it a month? And how many of those games can Drew Lock pile up? They are in a brutal division this year. It was a brutal division last year. And so if you're without your starting quarterback for 2 months, do you go below 500 in that run? And does that eliminate you from a chance to winning the division? I don't know if that'll happen or not. Their defense is certainly still elite. And they didn't miss their safeties and their guys in the back end at all. They were outstanding last night. And so there's no questions on that side. The other big takeaway outside of just the injury to Darnold is this was a golden child of the NFL from last year. He was second in the MVP voting. They had a 10-0 lead to redeem their Super Bowl loss against a team who lost their starting quarterback 5 plays into the game. And what did they commit? 10 penalties, 11 penalties, Seattle?
Yeah,
that
was sloppy.
Dude, it was incredible. The only touchdown New England scored was set up because May underthrew a ball on a flea flicker, and you got offensive pass interference, and they ended up punching it in. Like, for New England to have that opportunity to redeem that loss from February against a backup quarterback and to choke it away, throwing 3 picks on your last 3 drives of the game, including one of the worst interceptions any of us has ever seen to close a game. Like, that is quarterbacking 101. You are in field goal range. It's third down.
Yeah, you're going to tie the game at
the
a minimum.
The game's going to overtime.
Yeah, that is, your franchise quarterback cannot commit that play.
And for what reason? Like, what are you looking at? What are you trying to accomplish there? There's no argument for it. And I will – the first pick was –
unless he thought it was going to get thrown away and he just didn't put enough on it and Job made an amazing catch.
That should be 17 rows into the stands,
I agree,
man. Like, you never even risk that one. The first pick that he threw, I thought at the moment, like, oh, that's going to be the moment of the game if Seattle wins, because they were in plus territory. The game is 10-3. Mm-hmm. You're close to getting into field goal range to extending it to a double-digit lead again. You just need a field goal at that moment. And he just lobbed the ball into double coverage to Romeo Doubs on, like, second down.
The second one was even more egregious. Like, he stared it down the whole time to Douglas, and Julian Love just like watched him and goes, okay.
Thank you.
And that's easy.
There was the NFL film stuff that popped up from the Super Bowl where they talked about that and how easy he was to read in the game and how easy he was to pick off. And so I don't know where their season's going to go. I came in really low on New England this year just thinking harder schedule. They're without a doubt going to regress. I didn't know if Drake May was going to poop down his pants in the fourth quarter. That was ugly from him and a guy who we've kind of put on a pedestal in quarterback debates.
I want to talk more about Drake May. These are the next seven games, though, for Seattle. Again, we don't know the extent of the injury. The MRI was inconclusive, but they didn't see a fracture is what I think I saw from Adam Schefter.
Yes.
So there's going to be more information relayed as we go on here. Whether it's a couple games or a long time, how do you... This is what I think is interesting about Seattle, okay? Because they won it. I want to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, Washington, back-to-back road games. Then you're at home with the Chargers.
Yep.
See where they're at health-wise by the time they play that game.
Yep. Yeah, all their offensive linemen will probably be out by October.
I think I have this right. The Niners come to town on
correct.
October 11th.
Niners the week after.
Yep. No, but I think that what I have... Maybe right. I think they've lost four straight home games to the Niners.
I believe so.
It's four or five. And then you're at Denver, home Kansas City Sunday Night Football, Chicago.
Like, Monday Night Football,
Those are your next seven games. You look at the Cardinals and Commanders, and we don't know a lot of these teams and where their injuries are at. Some of these teams could end up not being bad, right? The Broncos could underwhelm. The Chiefs could look bad again.
Right.
The Niners could be banged up. I don't know, but you just look down the next seven games, and we know the defense is elite. And I don't know how much better Drew Lock can get versus how you manage it versus what the ground game is. That's a tough seven-game slate, even with Arizona and Washington.
You want to get one of the next two. If you win one, I mean, again, depending on how long Darnold's out, beating the Cardinals and beating the Commanders. If you get both of them, you're feeling great. If you get one of them, you're feeling okay.
The Chargers, Niners, Broncos, Chiefs, Bears on paper is a brutal five straight games.
There's no doubt. I almost view them now, I view them as kind of the NFC's Houston Texans. I think they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and that defense will give them a chance to win every single one of those games.
And
do what they did last night. Their defense won them the game last night.
And their punter.
You have Locke being as good as Stroud, even in the regular season? I know he's had his playoff woes at moments, but CJ Stroud.
Maybe that's. I know, it's a little offensive to CJ Stroud. I get it.
It's a little offensive.
I get it. It's a hair offensive. I'll allow that. Maybe that's a little too disrespectful. To me, when Houston wins games, they win games because of their defense. And their defense keeps them in every game that they play.
Yeah.
Three picks is why Seattle won the game last night.
Yeah.
They had nothing going offensively. May threw it to him again. The game was over.
Mm-hmm.
And if their defense can do that on a regular basis, they'll have a puncher's chance in any of those games.
Let's carry this over. We'll open up the cafe at the top of the hour. Let's carry something over here. Drake May, the game, the three picks. How much are people freaking out about it? What the season will be? We've had this weird Vrabel-Russini stuff all offseason. Let's get to that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount Plus.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
We will open up the cafe coming up here at the top of the hour. One team has finally landed in Australia. The other one's been there for a week.
Oh, an airport right to the field. Let's go play a football game.
The team that landed a week ago doesn't know what day it is, and the other team's just riding on energy and caffeine, I think. So we're going to have an interesting little NFL game tonight. We'll get to that coming up. We'll get into college football as well. But we're talking about the Seattle Seahawks and their schedule going forward. We don't know the extent of the injury with Darnold. It's a hip. You're going to want to be precautious, you know, precautious?
Precautionary?
Precautionary. Thank you.
Yep.
Weird. You want to be careful with it. So Drew Lock in the next couple weeks might end up starting for them.
Yes.
Maybe you get past Arizona and Washington in back-to-back road games because, as you mentioned, the defense can carry things.
Fun little moment for him last night, man. Been kind of a journeyman, bounced around, hasn't had a lot of chances. That's a cool moment. Him, when he threw that touchdown pass to JSN, his celebration was pretty fun.
I kept thinking randomly, I'm like, what if they just kept doing the Darnold thing year after year? They didn't want to pay a guy. They're like, hey, do you need to save your career? Come play 1 year with us. We'll be okay. We have a great defense.
We have the best wide receiver in the NFL and a number two or number one defense in the league.
And even though I think you rightly point out, it's more about Darnold's injury and what Seattle's going to be this year and how long he's going to be out. All of that is accurate, and they deserve the attention first. There's no doubt the media nationally and locally in Boston, this is more going to be about Drake May. Three picks, a horrendous pick to end the game when they could have tied it with a field goal.
All in the fourth quarter, by the way.
His second interception was... I mean, just egregious. It was a stare down. It was not recognizing any safety over the top.
Yep.
And the easiest interception for Julian Love probably since, well, his interception in the Super Bowl. And here's my takeaway. Drake May is interesting because I don't know how to tell people who don't watch the NFL how I feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
I think he's capable of flashing great, but I don't know how, like, super... Like, what his top-end ceiling is as a franchise quarterback. I know, he made the Super Bowl. That's what your response is going to be. But as you highlighted, we saw what he was against really good teams versus feasting on the bad.
Him in the playoffs. Let me pull up his stat log from the postseason, because I know it was not pretty. Last night, it was horrendous, 178 yards, three interceptions.
He was Charlie Checkdown most of the game when he completed passes. It was, hey, Ramondre Stevenson, here you go. Here's a dump pass. There you go. I think he had a 5.1-yard average going into the fourth quarter. I don't know what he finished with, but he went into the fourth quarter with a 5.1-yard average. That's terrible for a quarterback.
Not good. His totals from the four playoff games from last year, he completed 58% of his passes in the four games. He had six touchdowns and four interceptions.
Now, I do think, to defend him a little bit, I do think he was banged up and they weren't really releasing a lot of that information.
Yeah. Some good Houston's got a great defense. Yep. Denver had a great defense. And then obviously we know how good Seattle was.
So you certainly have questions about him. Some people might be all in. Other people might be with me of like, I don't really know. What I would say about this is, their season was already weird coming in because of the coach and the off-the-field issue, which I kept talking about. I'm like, hey, this is kind of a big deal. Russini might be coming back now to do a tell-all on her version of it, so that's going to be great for him.
He's going to have to respond to that in a press conference.
But I actually, my takeaway last night is not complete panic. That is maybe the best defense in the National Football League.
Without a doubt.
And they didn't have Eamon Worry back there.
They didn't have Eamon Worry, but, you know, you saw it with the different pressure disguises they had, the all-out blitzes they had. Their secondary is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Nwosu had almost another pick six, reading a little dump pass.
Yeah, they
to
had
Stevenson.
No answer
He damn near jumped in the air and grabbed that thing and ran it back to the end zone.
He was in the backfield all night.
Murphy was a problem in the middle. Like, that's maybe the best defense, or is the best defense to many in the league. So, like, him struggling against it, to me, isn't overly shocking. I also say this. You can't make some of those throws. His mechanics was sloppy. I thought his OC was awful. I thought they didn't set any kind of tone to start the game. And, yeah, they scored 10. They were up 10. 10 is nothing to me in an NFL game to lose a lead on. I just didn't like the way they were calling it. And look, that's not a defense totally of Drake May.
Yeah.
I think it's also a criticism of the coaching staff. This can't just be Drake May. The coaching staff, I didn't think, was very good in setting him up and their level of aggression and what they were doing. I thought it was a bad game all around for the Patriots, not just the quarterback.
It's interesting because we just did the schedule game with Seattle, looking at their next however many games and how can they survive without Darnold. Do it for New England, too. So they come home next week. They play Pittsburgh at home. Which, what do we know about Pittsburgh?
I mean,
always feisty.
Sluggish, it's going to be
good
tough.
Yes.
Yeah.
That has 13-10 written all over it, just like last night. Then they go on the road to Jacksonville, and then they go on the road to Buffalo.
And I love Jacksonville this year, and I love Buffalo. So.
And then before they get the Raiders and the Jets at home, and then things will kick back up again on the road against Chicago. The point just simply being, this first month all of a sudden has become interesting because they should have won the game last night. You're playing against a backup quarterback and a team that committed however many penalties. You got a 10-0 lead in the second half. You got a 10-3 lead in the fourth quarter. If you don't throw three picks, you win the game last night. Instead, they dribbled it down their leg, and now we got to turn around and get one of the next couple, and that's not going to be an easy thing to do. How do I feel about Drake May? I think the question of the ceiling is fascinating. Do I ever view him becoming a guy that's in the same category as maybe the people we tried to put him in the category with last year? No, I don't. Doesn't mean he can't be a really good player. Doesn't mean he can't be a really good starting quarterback. And the truth with him, as it is with everybody else, I don't think his offensive line is that good. I thought they were really bad last night. They added A.J. Brown in the offseason. He goes down in whatever quarter it was. Who's he left to throw the ball to?
Romeo Doubs.
And Hollins.
And Hollins ended up being his
go-to
guy.
Hollins had some nice
plays,
there's no doubt about it. Like, he had that nice fourth down catch, so he had moments. But, like, that's your 1-2 punch at wide receiver?
Yeah.
And Travion Henderson is out last night. And so, as poorly as I thought he played, and when you're in year three as a quarterback in the NFL, and the only, like, positive thumbs-up highlights that I have coming out of the game are you using your legs, that's a bit of a concern for me. He's great using his legs. He's great scrambling. It's an underrated aspect of his game that we didn't talk about a lot coming out of college. Other than that, there's not a lot of point to, but I also want to be fair to him and say I didn't think the O-line was great. His top wide receiver went down, and one of his 1A or 1B running backs was also out of the game, and that makes it difficult. The most frustrating thing for me watching their offense last night, I'm with you, I didn't love the plan. Them not having any answers for Seattle's all-out pressure. Every time Seattle brought the house, and you knew they were bringing, like, I'm sitting on my couch saying, here they come, and then he would just hike it and run away from it. And you can't run away from corners. You're not going to outrun. And they would just basically throw it away. Like, that was their game plan. Every time Seattle had an all-out, there were no checkdowns. There was no hot route. There was no just hike it and throw it to somebody.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly frustrating to watch because even me sitting on my couch in the living room could tell you, here they're bringing 10 guys. Get rid of the football. And he didn't get rid of the football.
The funny thing was it wasn't just the offense. Harbaugh had it on special teams for a punt. They brought all the corners in, and it was an all-out, we're going to try to block the punt in the end zone. And the Patriots were so caught off guard, they got to delay a game because they didn't know how to communicate. Everybody come in? Are we blocking? What are we doing? Delay a game. Back it up. And it's like they caught them all night. And I think that's the thing that I would be happiest about if I'm a Seattle fan. They out-coached them. Like, point blank. They have slightly better players, in my opinion. But, like, I thought they just out-coached them top to bottom. That was a great job by McDonald. Losing a starting quarterback and being able to overcome the circumstance and make Drake May look like he took a step back going into year three. It is only week one. Steelers, Jacksonville, Bills, tough three games. And then you get Raiders, Jets, okay. And then Bears, Packers are two of your next three after that. So it's going to be a tough one for him. We have a loaded second hour. Let's open up Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We'll get to that. Touch on the Australia Netflix game that we have tonight. It's a loaded hour number two on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.
Boxing fans, mark your calendars. Ryan Garcia puts his welterweight world title on the line against hard-hitting top contender Conor Benn, plus undefeated Australian superstar Jai Opetaia takes on Noel Michalian. Saturday, December 12th, all live on Paramount+. The feud between Garcia and Benn reaches a boiling point in one of the biggest fights of the year. The best part? There's no pay-per-view. The entire event is included with your Paramount Plus subscription. Saturday, September 12th, stream Zuffa Boxing's Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn live on Paramount+.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic. But it's not magic.